Is that where my mom comes? Yeah, they mom comes.
I thought we'd take a little digression from some of the brachas sugis that we were talking about, but still at least stay within the general realm of brachas. Something a little bit irrelevant to halacha lemaisa, a little bit in Yad HaDiyoma. Last week we spoke about the brachas on halachas neira, so I guess you have to give equal time to the proper bracha on jelly donuts. So very relevant halacha lemaisa topic for some of us. So let's see if we can learn to the sugi a little bit about the unique status of jelly donuts in halacha, particularly relating to brachas. But the truth is that if you can really tell from the name of the shiur, the sugi doesn't really begin in Nuchas brachas. The sugi really begins actually in Nuchas afrashas chala. So we're going to learn really a combination of two sugis, both in terms of chala and in terms of brachas, as they relate to jelly donuts and other kinds of assorted, can't say healthy foods, but yummy, tasty foods, hopefully. So the sugi begins with the first of the Marmakomos in the Mishnah Maseches Chala, Perk Aleph, Halacha Hey, a very cryptic Mishnah. The Mishnah begins by telling us, Isa shetchilasa sufkinin, v'sofa sufkinin, petura min achala, tchilasa isa v'sofa sufkinin, tchilasa sufkinin v'sofa isa, chayovin b'chala. V'cheina knuv ko'os chayovos. Just in case you're not sure what any of those terms mean, don't feel bad. The Rishonim weren't quite sure either what any of these terms mean. So the one thing that we do know is that the Mishnah is comparing and contrasting a term called Isa and a term called Sufkinin. What exactly is the difference between the two? So the term Isa conjures up a certain image of a dough, of a bread, of a matzah, whereas Sufkinin, literally from a Lashon Tzvog, more of a spongy kind of a mixture, almost conjures up images of perhaps a softer kind of a batter maybe, or maybe something that's prepared in oil rather than actually baked in an oven. So those seem to be the two different imageries that the Mishnah is talking about. So the Mishnah tells us that if you start to prepare something and it's sufkinin from beginning to end, so then it's not obligated in challah. However, if it's either at the beginning in Isa or at the end of an Isa, then it is in fact chayavas and chal. And the question, of course, we have to determine what precisely do all these terms, what is this all about? So if we take a look at the second of the Marmakomos, so Tosfos Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam the following, the first line of Tosfos, the pasuk of Rabbeinu Tam, in came benivlush verishalish. Now, just because Tosfos translated for us into Old French, it's not all that helpful for us, but we'll be able to tell from Tosfos' description, even though we may not be able to identify the particular food, but the description of Tosfos is going to help us. Titchilasan Isa, v'varchen alein hamotzi, v'chayoven b'chala, af alpi desofan sufkinin. So Rabbeinu Tam explains, and Rishon elaborate a little bit more on Rabbeinu Tam, even though from the Tosfos it's not 100% clear, but Rabbeinu Tam is driving at is the following, that when you make something as a dough, which is what we call an isa, so that means a thick dough. You take water and flour and you make a very, very thick dough out of it. Even though you eventually did not actually bake it, but rather you cooked it, or either cooked it in water, or for our purposes, you cooked it in oil, you took what we call deep fried in oil. So even though it was never really baked in an oven, so it's not a classic bread type of a food, it is still obligated in challah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that's exactly what at least half of the Mishnah means in the first of the Marmakomos. When the Mishnah speaks about Tchilasa Isa V'sofa Sufkinin Chayeves B'chala, what that means according to Rabbeinu Tam is anything that started out as a thick bread-like type of a dough, even though it never completed to be like bread, it never made it into an oven, it was never baked like bread or matzah, but rather it was either cooked or deep-fried, it was Sufkinin, it was more of a spongy kind of a process, it's still going to be obligated in challah. That is the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. That's what the Mishnah means. That's what that cryptic line of the Mishnah means. Tchilasa isa v'sof kasufkinin chayavas b'challah. So it comes out according to Rabbeinu Tam that you can have an obligation, min ha-Torah, of separating challah on something that never made it into an oven. It never made it anywhere near an oven. It was never baked. It's not bread. It's not matzah. It's not cookies. It's nothing. It's something that's literally deep fried. As long as one condition was met, That one condition was, it's what's called the belila ava. It was a thick dough, not a batter, but a thick dough. It was halachically called an isa. Then it would be obligated in challah. Now again, I don't know exactly what nivlish and rishalish are, but I can give us a modern day application of this, namely a jelly donut. That's exactly what we call sufgadiyot are. A jelly donut is such, if anyone's ever saw them making a jelly donut, so you take flour, you make a good thick dough out of it. It looks like a clump of dough, you can literally make bread out of it. But rather than making it into bread, rather than putting it into an oven, you throw it into a big vat of oil, and that's tchilasa, isa, v'sofa, sufkinin. According to Rabbeinu Tam, such an item would be obligated in challah min ha-Torah. So then Rabbeinu Tam continues. If you continue on in the Rabbeinu Tam, the second line in the Tosfos, originally, Rabbeinu Tam used to say, that these types of foods, namely the jelly donuts, are obligated in challah. The mitzvah's challah ba'odan isa. Because at what point does something become obligated in challah? At the time of dough. Because after all, the chsiv arisa seichem. The Torah describes in Parsha Shlach the obligation of challah emanating from the moment of isa, from the moment of being a dough. Since they started out to be a dough, it doesn't really interest me what happens later. They are going to be obligated in challah. However, says Rabbeinu Tam, aval min hamotzi pturim. But, says Rabbeinu Tam, just because they're obligated in challah, don't mistakenly think, well, they're obligated in challah, so they must be in the bread family. If they're in the bread family, then you should make hamotzi on them. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no, it's not true. The achshav hem sufkirin. Since at the end of the day, they were, rather than baked, they were prepared as spongy material, they were prepared in oil. So lechem they're not. So you can't say with a straight face, hamotzi lechem in aretz, but isa they are, and the dinim of challah depend upon the shem isa, being a dough. The brach of hamotzi depends on the shem lechem. So Rabbeinu Tam has just developed for us, b'mashal brisket Torah, there are two halachas. Usually we think, well, if something's obligated in challah, so it must be hamotzi, it must be bread. No, says Rabbeinu Tam, it's not true. It can be chayevas in challah based on hilchos isa, but not be called bread, because hilchos lechem is a different halacha. Dough creates an isa, creates a chiyuv challah. Baking in an oven creates the shem lechem for the purposes of the bracha of hamotzi. So not, but this not only be true, not only for jelly donuts, this would be true for many other kinds of foods. We could even think of some on our own. Let's say, for example, kreplach. So kreplach is also, it's a dough, it's a belila ova. It was never baked in an oven, rather it was cooked in a pot of water. So that's considered to be tchilas isa v'sof ha-sufkin. And again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, challah, yes, hamotzi, no. I guess the more modern-day version of a kreplach, we call it a wonton, but it's pretty much the same idea. All of the above, from the jelly donuts to the kreplach to the wontons, they're all tchilas isa v'sof ha-sufkin, and we make that split. But now, comes Rabbeinu Tam, or comes Tosfos v'das Rabbeinu Tam, and says it's not true. V'loy nira, says Tosfos, back in the third line, Tosfos says that which we just differentiated between challah and hamotzi is not correct. Tala el k'tani notlam le'ochlan mevarach le'en hamotzi gabi mincha. So comes Tosfos and says that we have a proof against what Rabbeinu Tam said, or at least against the second half of Rabbeinu Tam. Says Tosfos, we're going to prove to you that not only are these foods, the kreplach and the jelly donuts, chayavos and challah, but the bracha may be hamotzi on them as well. What's the proof? The Gemara says in the sixth berach brachos, what bracha did they make when they used to eat menachos? When the Kohanim would eat menachos, they made brachos. They made what brachas and netted did they make? So the Gemara says when a Kohen would eat a korban mincha, he would recite the bracha of hamotzi lechem in haaretz. So he asks Tosfos, why hamotzi? How was the mincha prepared? So we know from the Zmiras, to mincha machavas, it was prepared with oil. It wasn't baked in the oven, it was made with oil. Some of them were made kimincha machavas on a frying pan, some of them were made in a marcheshes, in a little bit of a deeper pan, but they were basically fried in oil rather than baked in an oven. So at afal pichein, the Gemara says you recite hamotzi on it. So what do you see from here? The Rabbeinu Tam is only halfway right. Rabbeinu Tam is right that it's chayv and challah, but whereas Rabbeinu Tam said it's not hamotzi, that's not true. It is hamotzi. What's the lumbus of Tosfos? Tosfos is now arguing against Rabbeinu Tam. So the lumbus of Tosfos seems to be that once you have belila ova, the reason why it's obligated in challah is not because it's called an isa, but rather because it's called lechem. So once you say that the mechayiv of challah is dependent upon the shem lechem, then there's no reason to differentiate between the chiyuv of challah and the bracha of hamotzi. So we have now machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos within Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam originally used to say, or maybe he still said, but Tosfos presents that Rabbeinu Tam's original view used to be that challah yes, hamotzi no. And Tosfos backed out, and Tosfos says it's not true, that challah yes, and hamotzi yes as well. And the raya was from the Korban Mincha, the recitation of hamotzi of the Korban Mincha. And the lumdus is challah a function of isa, or is challah a function of lechem? But then Tosfos continues and says, based on what we're saying, it should come out something very, very strange. The rimshaish, the following food called rimshaish. Now rimshaish, Baruch Hashem, we do know what it is. Not because I know what Old French is, but because the Metargim, the translation in the back of the Gemara, actually gives the old German word, which my old German is not so good either, but every once in a while when you see an old German word, so you can, it's close enough to Yiddish. So the Metargim uses the word lakshin. So I think most of us know what the word lakshin means. So Rimshash I can vouch for, but lakshin I'm pretty familiar with. So comes Tuzin and says, the lakshin, according to what we're just saying, lakshin should be chayiv and challah, because how do you make lakshin? It's a thick dough. It's cut into little strips, thrown into a pot of water. So that should be chayiv and challah. And according to the way Tosfos backed out from Rabbeinu Tam, you should make hamotzi. So catch this chumrah. You thought you're going to get kulis tonight. You got to make a hamotzi and a lakshin kugel, according to what Tosfos is about to say. So Tosfos says, no, it can't be. V'ramshash, afal gav dechayav v'chala, even though it is true that lakshin is obligated in chala, according to Rabbeinu Tam, shahayu isa b'tchila, because it started out as a dough, p'turin me'hamotzi, v'eim v'varchin alem ela bar m'nei mezonos. Says Tosfos, even according to us, who claim that you would make hamotzi in effect on the kreplach, on the wontons, but the lakshin, even we back out from. Why? For two magic words, that leislu teresa denahama. It doesn't have what's called the teresa denahama, translated even means the tzuras apas. In order to make hamotzi, it's not enough to halachically be bread, it has to look like bread also. So now there are two halachas, sabrisketirentisis, there's a cheftz of bread, and then there's a re'iyah, and then there's the image of bread. So for the purposes of our freshest challah, as long as halachically it's called lechem, it's called pas, it's chayavas in challah. So technically speaking, Tosa says, the lakshin is almost like pas, it's almost like lechem, because it's a belila ova, it doesn't matter what happens to it later, it's chayavas in challah. Do you make a motzi on lakshin? Says Tosa, no. So we have now a few different possibilities. What chiyav challah is there? What bracha is there in terms of the kreplach, the jelly donuts, the wontons, the lakshin, a lot of different factors flying around. But everything is revolving around Rabbeinu Tam's basic premise. Rabbeinu Tam started the ball rolling by telling us that at least the kreplach, at least the jelly donuts, are obligated in challah. Whether that translates to mean a motzi or not, so that's dependent. That depends on the machlokes within Rabbeinu Tam. But the starting point of Rabbeinu Tam is agreed upon by this entire Tosfos. But notwithstanding the fact that Tosfos accepted Rabbeinu Tam, there are other Balei Tosfos who rejected Rabbeinu Tam. If you reject Rabbeinu Tam's entire theory, then there's nothing to talk about. And we don't even have to discuss what bracha. If there's no chiyav challah in the first place, then there's nothing to discuss. So who was the bar plukta? Who was the one who disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam? So the Rosh in the third of the Ramakomis in Pesachim, in Perek Beisim and Tezayin, quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Shimshim. And Shimshim was the Rosh. The Rosh wrote a parish of Mishnayos on Zeroyim and on Taros. He wrote many other things. He's quoted in Tosfos all the time also. The Rosh was a relative of Rabbeinu Tam. Most of the Balei Tosfos were related to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's nephew was the Ri, and the Rosh learned by the Ri. It's all the same extended Mishpacha. So Rabbeinu Shimshon's Al-Kosav HaSeches Chala, Shalash Isa Gemura, V'dayto Levashlo B'mayim, O L'tagda B'shemen P'tur Min HaChala. Says the Rosh that if a person takes a dough, a real hard dough, call it Blila Ava, but from day one you were planning on cooking it, or from day one you were planning on deep frying it, planning frying it in oil, so it's going to be exempt from challah. There is no obligation of challah whatsoever. According to the Rosh, what in the world does the Mishnah mean when it says Isa Tchilasa Isa Vesof Hasufkin and Chayavas Bechala? So the Rosh explains to us what it means is as follows. If you made the dough originally planning on baking it, and then you changed your mind, then it's obligated in Chala. Because once you made it al das to bake it, then the chiyuv challah kicks in. But if you made it mitchila to cook it, you made it mitchila to fry it, then and only then it's going to be potter from challah. So according to the Rash, when you make a regular dough for the purposes of making jelly donuts, you were planning on making jelly donuts. When you make a dough to make kreplach, you make a dough to make lokshin, those are all al-das not to bake it. They were al-das to cook or to deep fry it. So says the Rash, there was never a chiyuv challah. So we don't have to bother spending time discussing what bracha you make. It's a moot point. Of course the bracha is not a motzi. How can you dream of making a motzi? You're not even chayvin challah. Why can we even begin to discuss a motzi? So says the Rash, there's no question that anything that was prepared with the express intent of cooking or deep frying is never ever going to be a motzi. But now the Rash has some explaining to do. The Rash has to explain to Gemara about what bracha they made on the menachas in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Rash continues. V'hadi aminin in the third of the Mamakamas, the second line. V'hadi aminin b'keitz mevarchin de'oichal mincha mevarchal av ha-motzi. The Gemara says explicitly that you make a motzi. These are not talking about the menachas that were fried in the frying pan or in the deep bowl. Because in fact, those kinds of menachas would not require a bracha of hamotzi. There were other menachas that were actually baked. So if you look at Parshas Vayikra, the Torah delineates, some menachas were baked, some were fried. Some were fried in small pans, some were fried in deep pans. When the Gemara says that they used to make hamotzi on menachas, the Gemara wasn't talking about all menachas, those menachas that are supposed to be hamotzi. So when the Kohanim was sitting in the Beis Hamikdash trying to figure out what bracha to make, so they checked the little Torah Masorah, little brachas books, and see, menachas depends, A, B, C, depending what kind of mincha you're eating. If it's a deep fried one, then it's mezonos. If it's a baked one, then it's going to be hamotzi. Or inami, the Rash says, the Rash himself is sensitive to the fact that this teretz, the first teretz, seems a little bit dachuk, because the Gemara doesn't differentiate which menachos, so it seems that all menachos were the same. So the Rash says, maybe you're right. Maybe all menachos were the same, they were all hamotzi, because the fried menachos, there wasn't too much oil in them anyway. They're not the same as jelly donut. You ever see a jelly donut? Eat the jelly donut before you look at how they make it, because once you see them make it, you'll never want to eat it again. It's mamish drowning in oil. Kreplach, those are mamish drowning in oil. So comes the Rash and says, when something is mamish soaked in oil, that's cooked, so then it's mezonos. The menachos that Chazal would describe, the menachos in the Torah, there's a little bit of oil in the machlas, a little bit of oil in the machlas, not so much, and therefore it's considered to be closer to baking than it is to frying or to cooking. So when all the dust settles, the Rash says, I don't have to address Rabbi Natam Shita, because I don't accept his basic premise. The basic premise of Rabbi Natam, that a blila ova that's cooked or deep fried is chayv and challah, is not true. And therefore there would be no chayv and challah. So now we have
machle. Does the Rash hold that you need to have tzuris apostle?
For what? For? It's not relevant according to the Rash, nothing to talk about. Well, for our sugya, it's not relevant, because according to the Rash, once it's cooked, once it's deep fried, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's still going to be potter. So now we have halach l'maisa machlekes. What's the din? Jelly donuts. Halach l'maisa, you have to be mafresh challah and jelly donuts. So according to Rabbi Natam, absolutely. So I'm saying, chiv challah min haTorah. According to the Rash, there's no chiv at all. Not min haTorah, min haDerabanan. It doesn't exist. So how do we paskin in halacha, before we get to chos brachas, how do we paskin in halacha in terms of mafresh challah? So on the fourth of the Ramakomos, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Shin Chav Tesef Gimel, Isa Shabli Lasa Ava, for Gilgala Aldas Lavashla Ola Tagna, Ola Sosa Sufkinin, Oli Ashra Bechama. So says the Shulchan Aruch, if you prepare a thick dough with the intention of either cooking it, or frying it, or making it into a spongy kind of a food, or baking it, drying it out in the sun, which is basically halachically not considered to be like baking, and that's in fact what you did. Ptura. So then, all of the above would be potter from challah, following verbatim the Shittas HaRash. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, Gilgul alasos b'men alecha. What if you prepared the dough with the intent of baking it? V'nimloch levashla, then you changed your mind and you cooked it, ol tagno, or you fried it, ol asas sufkin it, ol yashu b'chama, then chayeves, shekvar nischayev mishas gilgul, which is exactly what the Rash told us, that when the Mishnah says, t'chilasa isa v'sof v'sufkin it chayeves, that means your intention was to bake it, and you change your mind in the middle. But if your intention all along was just to deep fry it or to cook it, then there would not be any chiyuv challah whatsoever. So according to Shulchan Aruch, there's not much to discuss in terms of the brachas on jelly donuts, because there's not even a chiyuv challah on jelly donuts. So you don't have to be mafresh challah, then obviously the bracha is not going to be any more than a mizonos. However, that's not the end of the story, because if you take a look at the fifth of the Ramakamos, so the Shach, Inuchas Chalan, Yerdeh Simin Shin Chav Tes, the Shach writes, Ptura, so Kevan, the Gilgul Aldas Levashla, this is quoting the Shulchan Aruch, Lochal Aleh Chavas Chalah, the Basadaita was Linan, again, Shulchan Aruch following the Rash, everything depends what the person's Kavana was. Miyu, says the Shach, Harbe Poskim Cholkim, there are many who disagree with this Shulchan Aruch, who disagree with the Rash, the Hecha de Blilasa Ova, whenever the dough was thick, Afilu Gilgul Aldas Levashla, even though you initially did it for the purpose of cooking it, it's still chayav espechala. Doesn't matter what happens later. The miyadis chayav mishas gilgul to this beis Yosef. Who is he referring to? He's quoting Rabbeinu Tam. He's referring to Rabbeinu Tam. So now, how should we paskin? So whereas the Shulchan Aruch was okay being maker like the Rash, the Shach is less satisfied with that kula. Lachin yesh lahachmir lahafish chala b'loy bracha. Says the Shach, the more correct thing to do is to be mafish chala, albeit misafek, without a bracha, in deference to the view of Rabbeinu Tam. So whereas the Shulchan Aruch negated the view of Rabbeinu Tam, the Shach brought Rabbeinu Tam shita back to life, at least with Torah Safek. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he doesn't think people really follow this. The Shach thinks the minig is more like the Shulchan Aruch. I cannot tell you with absolute certainty what the minig in the bakeries is. I imagine that they're potter in this. I think that most do follow the Aruch HaShulchan, that they're not mafresh at all. Another reason to be a little bit more lenient is, obviously we're talking about Chalas Chutz Loretz, which is for sure only Midirabanan, and it's a fairly low-level list of Midirabanan, so there probably are sufficient grounds to be makel. So notwithstanding the fact that the Shach writes that one should be machbel chetchil, if we mafresh, I'll be without a bracha, my suspicion is that probably most places are not mafresh chala, following the view of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ikra Din, the Ramah, which follows the view of the Rash. So the question is now, how does this sugya now play out to the next step in terms of Hilchos Brachos? So we saw in Tosfos that at first Rabbeinu Tam differentiated between Chal and Brachos, and then Tosfos compared the two. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in the sixth of the Ramakamos, in Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos B'tzias Tepas, Hilchos Brachos, and Simukuf Samaches, Sif Yud Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says, Afilu Dova Shabli Loso Ava, you have a thick dough, in Bishla Otigna, if you cooked it or fried it, Eim Avarach LaHamotzi, there is no bracha of Hamotzi. Again, this is right out of pretty much the Rash. Afilu Sheish Alea Teresa Dinama, even if it looks like with Tzuras HaPas, it doesn't mean low Teresa Dinama. That's a Os Lamed Aleph. It's a little bit misleading. But if even though it looks like bread, it wouldn't matter. For Afilu Mischayev B'Chala, even if it would be chayav es b'chala. Now, what does the Shulchan Aruch mean, even if it's chayav es b'chala? What he means is that even if you originally made it to be baked and you changed your mind, which would be enough to be chayav en chala, that's not enough for hamotzi. Why? Because the birchas hamotzi, eino holech ela acha shasafia. When it comes to hamotzi, chayv lo yavor, if it's not baked, it's never going to be anything short of mizonos. So, but comes the Shulchan Aruch and continues, v'yesh cholkin, there are those who disagree, t'chol shetchila se'isa ava, this is once again Rabbeinu Tam, anytime the dough is thick, afilu rikicha achakach b'mayim v'sasufkinin, even though it's later made into a spongy thing of bishla b'mayim, it's made into jelly donuts, mevarach aleim hamotzi. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and quotes, brought the Rabbeinu Tam back to life as a yesh cholkin. So the mistama, the first day of the das stamit in the Shulchan Aruch is, forget Rabbeinu Tam. And then he brought, by the way, v'yesh omrim. There are more ads v'nogu l'hokel, the most people didn't follow the Rabbeinu Tam. But look how the Shulchan Aruch concludes. V'yerei shamayim yetze yedei shneim. So says the Shulchan Aruch, the more correct thing to do, you want to be really, really yerei shamayim, so you should try to be yotze both Rabbeinu Tam and the Rash. But the question is, how are you going to do that in Hilchos Brachos? So I have this jelly donut, and I want to know, well, what bracha should I make on the jelly donut? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, I have to make hamotzi. According to the Rash, I have to make mizonos. So how am I going to be frum? How can I be yotzi deshneim? So the answer is, lo yoichol ela yedei sheyivarach alechem achet chila. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, the only way to get out of the suffix is to wash in something else. If you're in the middle of your meal and you had a slice of bread, you had a bagel anyway, then you can eat your jelly donut. If not, don't eat the jelly donut, says the Shulchan Aruch. It depends how firm you want to be. If you want to be Reish Shemayim. If you don't want to be such a Yerei Shemayim, enjoy your jelly donuts. But if you want to be a Yerei Shemayim, then you shouldn't be eating your jelly donuts, because it's a machlokes, a bit of time in the Rash, what the bracha is. So misafik, it's better not to eat it all together. But we'll see in a minute, we're going to give some libut chos for the jelly donuts. So comes the Rabbah and says, so says the Ramah, wait a second, this is only if it looks a little bit like Tursa Pass. Remember going back to Lokshin from before. Lokshin, don't worry about it. Lokshin, you can eat Lokshin, as much Lokshin as you want, you don't have to worry about it. But the lace bay Torah Lechem, we go on the next page. Kigon, or the bathrooms, Kigon, Lokshin, Shekorim Vrumzlach. Just in case you didn't know what Lokshin is, so the Ramah tells you that's called Vrimzlich. I guess for us it works the other way around. But Lokshin is not what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. But what is the Shulchan Aruch referring to? What are some good examples of things where there would be a machlokes or b'natam in the Rashi about, where the Shulchan Aruch is recommending lechatchila to be machmir? What are some good examples? If it's not lokshin, what is it? So the Ramah gives you some real down-to-earth examples about pashtida ukreplach. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we finally found the word we understand. Kreplach is mikre te'alechem. That's called the tzuras apas. Looks like a roll. A roll with some meat inside it or something. Ve'ein la'ochlam elim kembirich ha'shar pas tchila. So comes the Ramon says that if a person wants to eat something like the kreplach, like the wontons, those kinds of foods, then the correct thing to do is to wash first. If you're interested in washing, you should wash on something else. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, the bracha would be hamotzi. According to the Rash, the bracha would be mizonos. We're not 100% sure it was right, even though mikra din, we don't really follow Rabbeinu Tam. But in Hilchos Brachas, we try lechatchila to go the extra mile. It's interesting because in Hilchos Chala, the Shulchan Aruch didn't even quote Rabbeinu Tam. In Hilchos Brachas, some of Rabbeinu Tam comes back into the sugya. So when all the dust settles, at least at this point in the sugya, what we have is as follows. We have the original machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rash vis-a-vis Chala. We are potentially, that machlokes is spilling over to Hilchos Brachas. In the Ikra Din, we don't accept Rabbeinu Tam. But as a lechatchila, as a Yerei Shemayim, it is chasidus, we've been chayshish Rabbeinu Tam, which translates that Ramah says lemaisa, not to eat the kreplach outside of a meal. Lokshin is okay, because lokshin is lacking to a sefas, that's a whole different story. But the kreplach, one should be machmeron. But most of us are not eating kreplach today, most of us are not thinking about the lokshin today, we still have our minds on our jelly donuts. So where did jelly donuts fit into this picture? So the Ramah continues. He doesn't say jelly donuts, but he's going to say something else. V'chol zelo mairei, ela be'isa she'ein ba'shemnu dvash v'chayayitze bo. Ela she'metugan behem. When is this whole discussion? This is if you have a dough that has nothing else in it. It's basically flour and water, and you threw it into a pot of oil. But avalim lach nilosh, avalim nilosh behem, sorry, lamet ches is the next letter. Avalim nilosh behem, k'fanis bar dinu v'itza pasma b'kisnin. Says the Ramah, what if instead of just throwing it into oil, there's actually oil in the dough itself. There are other things, there are spices, there's oil, there's honey, there's sugar, there are sweet kinds of things in the dough itself. Then it's a whole new ballgame, says the Ramah. Then this is what enters into a new category of Hilchos Brachos. It's called pasa b'kisnin. Pasa b'kisnin means it's pas, it's lechem, it's in the bread family, it may have even been baked in the oven, but it's made in such a way that it's a very snacky kind of a food. Anything that's more of a snacky kind of a food, a sugary kind of food, a sweetie kind of a food, it's not really a meal food, but automatically loses out the bracha of hamotzi, unless you eat a significant amount of it, which hopefully you're not going to be eating too many of these kinds of foods. So this is the reason, for example, why we do not make hamotzi on cookies, unless you have a tremendous amount of cookies. This is the reason why you don't make hamotzi on cake, unless you have a tremendous amount of cake. Because anything that's made for more of a snack than for a meal is what's called pasta b'kisnin, and the bracha is going to be mizonos. Just as a follow-up of this, this is probably the reason why many poskim maintain that one does recite the bracha of hamotzi on pizza. Even though pizza has other things thrown into it also, it's not just a dough, but it's a dough with cheese on top, with sauce on top, etc. But since it's made primarily for a meal, since most people don't snack on pizza, more pizza is consumed at mealtime. Right, most of the pizza is eaten around the supper time, or lunch time, or breakfast time. But it's not, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you usually don't sit down and have pizza. 11 o'clock at night, you don't have pizza, maybe you have a cookie or something. So pizza is usually identified with a meal kind of a food. That's why, according to many poskim, it wouldn't be pasa b'kisnin anymore, and the bracha would be hamotzi. That's why we assume halacha that the mizonos rolls are not really mizonos. See, they're all, it's all for the same reason, because they're really they're meal kinds of foods rather than snack kinds of food. But if you would have something that's really truly a snacky kind of a food, then it would lose out the bracha of hamotzi based on those grounds. So Baruch Hashem, we can salvage the jelly donuts based on that, because the jelly donuts are snacky. No, nobody should be sitting down eating three jelly donuts for lunch. A jelly donut is a snack. So even though, according to Rabbi Natan, it's potentially hamotzi, but it loses out the hamotzi because of Ilchus Pasav Abikisnin. So going back now in terms of the summary of the different kinds of the foods, where they play out in terms of chal and in terms of brachas, so they're, according to Rabbi Natan, all the above is chayv and chala. The lakshin is chayv and chala, and the jelly donuts are chayv and chala, and the kreplach, everything's chayv and chala. According to the Rash, none of that is chayv and chala. What about Ilchus brachas? So according to the Rash, they're all mazonos. According to Rabbi Natan, we have to now pick and choose. So the kreplach are, yes, hamotzi. The noodles are not hamotzi because they don't have tzuras hapas. The jelly donuts are not hamotzi because they're lacking the complete teva pasta called pasaba bikisnin. There is one last potential chumrah that may emanate from what we're saying, is that it comes out that although we're choshesh, maybe lechetchila for Rabbi Natan once in a while, but me'ikra din we don't really follow Rabbi Natan. Proof positive. We're not really mafish chala on the jelly donuts. Me'ikra din we follow the Shulchan Aruch. So we who follow the Shulchan Aruch, me'ikra din hold that in the bottom line, the bracha on jelly donuts is really mizonos. It's nothing really more than mizonos. If that's the case, that could spell trouble for us in terms of the kashrus, not just of jelly donuts, but in terms of all donuts. Because there is a mission of a desire that speaks about food that was prepared by non-Jews being either what's called pasakom or bishalakom. Either it's bread baked by a non-Jew or it's cooked by a non-Jew. The difference between the two is that if it's bread, then it's basically mutter. We pass that pasakom is mutter if it was made professionally, not made by a private person. If it's bishalakom, then it's usher under all circumstances. Again, leaving out the details why that should be so. So the question is, where are jelly donuts? Are jelly donuts bishalakom because they're cooked in oil? Or are they pasachom because they're made out of a thick dough? So according to Rabbi Natan, they're pasachom, and that's good for us. That means they're basically mutter. But according to everybody else, the way we paskin, they're really bishalachom. So now it should turn out that, forget about what brachy make on them, they're all treif anyway. Because any jelly donut that was made by a non-Jew, or any regular donut for that matter, any Dunkin' Donuts, it doesn't matter what the kosher ingredients are, just the fact that it was made by a non-Jew, that should treif it up because it's bishalachom. So that is almost the case, but not quite the end of the case. I didn't schlep you up to the shiur just to hear that you can't eat Dunkin' Donuts anymore. So the heter is based on the following. The Gemara says that when you have something that should have been also because of what's called bishalachom, but if it's a very cheap type of a food that fancy people wouldn't eat, you wouldn't serve it at a fancy meal, eina olach shulchan alachim, then it's mutter anyway. So Baruch Hashem, we could breathe a sigh of relief. Donuts, neither jelly donuts, although they may be serving it in the White House tonight, but that's only because it's Hanukkah. But normally they don't serve it at a steak dinner. The custard donuts, Dunkin' Donuts, are generally not associated with a very fancy kind of a food. They're more in sync with, cops and truck drivers. Those are the kinds of people we usually associate Dunkin' Donuts with. So that's not called Olah Shuch Malachim, and therefore, even though the bracha is not really hamotzi, it's not really lechem, it really should have been bishalachem, well, we could breathe a sigh of relief, it's going to be mutter anyway. So when all the dust settles, whether or not you have to be mafish challah on the jelly donuts, it's machlekes Rabbi Natan and the Rash, machlekes the Mechaber and the Shach. What the bracha on the jelly donuts is, according to Rabbi Natan, it really should have been hamotzi. According to the Rash, no. And even according to Rabbi Natan, it probably falls short because of pasav bekisnin. Whether it's kosher or not, so probably, according to Rabbi Natan, for sure it would be kosher, so an agreement's a kosher. And according to the Rash, we can also defend it being kosher based on a different reason, a tangential reason, of Eina Ola Shulchan Malach. Okay, I'll stop. Okay, we should have brought donuts. We shared this. Now we have the salt. My cloak is what?